The pandemic has caused a lot of people to rethink where they live, especially as many of us worked from home. There were stories about city dwellers leaving for the outdoors and more space, and how some smaller communities started to see big influxes of new residents. But how are cities trying to respond, and has the pandemic caused a fundamental change in how they operate? My next guest has put a lot of thought into these kinds of questions. David Cutler is a professor of applied economics at Harvard, where he focuses on healthcare economics. He's also co-author of the book Survival of the City: Living and Thriving in an Age of Isolation. I spoke with him recently and asked what, from his perspective, have been the biggest impacts on cities of what we've all been dealing with for the past nearly 2 years.
The pandemic era has had huge impacts, as you were saying, for cities. One is simply just the depopulation of cities in normal times where you'd expect to see a lot of people around. You know, so businesses where workers are not at business. And that means that all the other businesses that work around them, the coffee shops and the lunch places and the hotels and all of that, and people out. And so that's been a very traumatic change for cities. And then in addition to that is this sort of sense of coming to the surface, a lot of tensions that had been buried about, you know, obviously we had had huge, huge protests over police violence before COVID-19, and people are looking for solutions, things about education and schools that are brought to a fore by COVID and the need to go to online education. So how do you run a city well when you have this sort of in the shadow, you have all these different problems that are competing for attention?
Well, how many of those do you think were specifically brought on by COVID? And I guess to use a medical term, how many of them were pre-existing conditions?
Some of the social problems certainly were pre-existing conditions. So they had been there before, and they had partly been buried. Other problems, I think, are really brought on by COVID. So COVID has placed more emphasis on how do we think about the health of populations in different parts of cities? You know, how do, you know, low-income populations, all of a sudden their health is influencing health everywhere in the city. And so those issues get brought up anew because of COVID.
One of the other, of course, major things that people have been talking about is the future of work. And, you know, a lot of people have been teleworking, telecommuting, and there's some question about how much that will continue into the future. But, you know, a lot of offices, a lot of companies are based in cities. How do you see sort of the future of work playing into and impacting the future of cities?
So I think that telecommuting, Zooming will absolutely be a part. There are people who are not going to want to come in all the time. My guess is they'll come in some of the time because firms are quite leery about having people never come in. But they will probably not have the sort of dedicated space. You know, if you're coming in 2 or 3 days a week, it might not be the dedicated space. So the footprint, if you will, of big businesses is likely to fall in cities. I think that in most cities, that's likely to be picked up in a couple of ways. One is potentially by startup businesses that, you know, people will say, well, look, rents are cheaper. I can give something a trial even if I'm not sure about it, where you can't do that when rents are more expensive. And so that would be a good thing. And second would be in some cities, you can turn commercial real estate into residential real estate. So I'm here in Boston and, you know, a fair amount of the housing that's in the city of Boston is converted commercial real estate, lofts and so on. And so that's another area where businesses not using space could be beneficial. I don't know that it will be in all areas, and it's certainly a difficult transition, but my hope is that for some cities, at least, this will turn out to be good because it'll free up space for other people and other uses.
That's really interesting because obviously affordable housing is such a big issue in so many cities, Phoenix among them. Boston, I know, has had its share of problems with affordable housing. Do you think this could put a dent into that? Or is there maybe a fear that commercial space turned into residential space would be more luxury, high-end type apartments or condos?
I think to a first approximation, any supply of housing in cities is good because it takes the pressure off. So even if it's towards higher income people, that reduces the rents across the board, and that makes some things that were higher end, maybe more affordable by the middle class, and some things that were affordable by the middle class, more affordable by lower middle income people. So I would love it if housing were built more towards middle and lower income people, but any increase in housing is going to be helpful because it'll take pressure off the huge increases in rents.
Do you get the sense that this pandemic has in any way forced people and maybe forced cities and the people who run them to fundamentally rethink what cities are and what they do, as, you know, people have maybe tried to leave the city to find more space for distancing or to find a place to live with a home office or workspace? And, you know, we've talked about companies maybe not having people in the office all the time. People don't necessarily need to live in or very close to cities.
Yes, there is some rethinking of the city that's going on. Hopefully, you know, what you really want to avoid is a situation where rich people live in rich enclaves and middle-income people live in middle-income enclaves, and then poor people live in the hollowed-out shell of what used to be nice areas. So that would be a terrible outcome. What we hope is that as we rethink it, what we come to is something that says, you know, we may not need to be in the city as much, but we still love this city. You know, there's some of our greatest inventions in the history of mankind is the city. So maybe we can figure out how to get more of what we like from them and sort of return them, if you will, to areas of opportunity where people can use them to climb a ladder in life, rather than just be sort of stagnant places where once you've made it, you get to relax.
How easy or difficult do you think that is to really have cities offer that opportunity and make them maybe more of a melting pot than a upper income, middle income, lower income neighborhoods? And, you know, they don't really interact that much.
I think of some areas, and Phoenix I think of as one of them, that's been very, very hospitable to growth in terms of the supply of housing of different types. Even though there are clearly price and rent issues, they're nowhere near as bad as in Silicon Valley, Los Angeles, New York, Boston, Chicago, so on. So a lot of areas, the sort of Phoenixes, Houstons, Nashvilles, have been areas where people are flocking because people want to be in cities, and those cities tend to be more affordable. And, you know, people used to go to California, you know, to live in Los Angeles and San Francisco, and now you can't afford to live there. So either you live further out or you go to a city where you can afford to live. And that's, I think that kind of opportunity area is really what we need more of. And there's no reason why more cities can't learn from the experience of the successful ones.
David Cutler is a professor of applied economics at Harvard and co-author of the book Survival of the City: Living and Thriving in an Age of Isolation.